Welcome to this podcast. I will be asking you some questions over dental assistance, but first off, I would like for you to introduce yourself and some of your accomplishments in life.
My name is Kim Fulkin, and I normally go by Miss Kim, is what my students call me. And I have been in dental assisting or in dentistry for over 30 years. And I've been teaching dental assisting at Career Development Center for 15 years. And I really enjoy it. I really have a good time. And I still like it. It's still in my field. Sometimes I wish I was still out there working on patients, but because of health and some surgeries and things, I'm not able to do that. So teaching works really good.
So now that we know a little bit about you, what compelled you or inspired you to become a dental assistant?
When they started training me and showing me things, and like that was in, before I was even 14 years old. I wanted to go to Europe, so in order to pay half of that, I had to get a job, so that was easy to get at my age.
Oh no, yeah, I can imagine. So what were some of the hurdles you personally faced in order to be able, to go to Europe, and how did you overcome them?
Washington State and learned advanced dental assisting, and that's what I've been doing ever since.
So I did some research of my own and found out you don't need much to become a dental assistant. It's maybe a high school diploma or a GED.
No, you don't need anything. We can hire someone off the street. They just need a resume and be really good with communication with people. They have to be able to get into the mouth and around the teeth, the tissues, deal with saliva and a little bit of blood. But no, you can come to CDC and take classes.
So since you don't have much experience or knowledge as, let's say, general dentists in the field of dentistry, would you consider your job a secure job?
Oh yes, there's always teeth everywhere in the world, no matter where you move. And some people move often, and so it's always a job you'll find out there. And teeth aren't going to go anywhere. It's like not a job that's going to close down because the industry is slow or things that way. So I think dental assisting always has a future. They're always looking for dental assistants.
So while working as a dental assistant, did you ever at some point in your life struggle financially?
I had a husband, so I never had to really struggle financially. But yeah, if I had to do it on my own, I would definitely look for dental assisting, say at $20 an hour in this economy right now. Mm-hmm. And you start out low, but then you can work yourself up. But in order to be on my own and pay for, a house, rent, utilities, all of that, you need about $20 an hour job now. So, I would almost take two jobs, really, one full-time being a dental assistant and then a part-time, unless you moved up into that category of that money.
So talking about money, let me sort of compose this scenario where I'm a dental assistant and I feel as though I'm not given the opportunity to prove myself as someone who is hardworking and deserves a raise. What's advice you would give to sort of break that ice and let the frustration be known, as well as put the advice to practice to achieve the goal of getting that raise?
In the dental assisting field, the dentist always gets together for an evaluation with you. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't had one of those within a 6-month period of time, I would really ask the dentist to please do an evaluation with you. And then I would keep in mind of things that you feel you've improved upon. procedures, or you're going to a couple schools to learn about new materials, and then you've introduced them to the dentist, or things along that line that you've gone over and beyond the basic job, I would bring those points up to the dentist and then ask for a raise. Sometimes they go 50 cents, sometimes they go 75 cents, sometimes they go a whole dollar. But really, you should have an evaluation done every 6 months.
So since dental assistants aren't well paid as, let's say, a general dentist, would you go as far as to say that a dental assistant is underappreciated?
Oh yes, we do everything. The dentist owns the practice, has to, you know, pay for the insurance, the health insurance, you know, has to pay for all of that, and still pay to own the practice and all of that. But the dentist is trained, you know, to do like the anesthetic, is trained to prep a tooth or drill into a tooth, do major things like that. Rest of the job is yours. You have to do all the sterilization, all the disinfection. You have to set up all the procedures, all the trays. You have to pass all the instruments. You have to mix all the materials. So yes, I feel we're really, really underappreciated because a hygienist goes to school, gets a lot of money, like $45 an hour, and works on her own. Yes, but all she does is X-rays, cleaning teeth around the gums. They don't have the job that we do, and I feel we do a lot more. I feel we should be paid the $45 an hour because of everything that we do.
So without you, you're basically saying that the doctors are having a much harder time, correct?
The dentist has a hard time if he doesn't have a dental assistant. They're trained in school not to have a dental assistant, but if they're out of school, they really count on you to be the extra hands. So yes, they kind of flounder and, you know, try their best. And when you come back, if you were gone, you come back to a huge mess and a lot more work to do. Possible. Yes.
What would you say are the most common lies, myths, or misconceptions about dental assistants?
There's not a lot of blood. People think, okay, well, it's a health career. The mouth is going to bleed. There's not a lot of blood. Unless you're in a really major surgical or extraction, removal of teeth, there's not a lot of blood. Some people feel that we are the ones that do the nitrous oxide. You don't have to train for that. And that is dangerous stuff. But I think that's just the myth out there is they'd rather have the dentist do the nitrous oxide or things like that. But basically the blood.
So you said there wasn't a lot of blood?
No, there's not a lot of blood, no.
So if someone were to want to become a dental assistant and they were terrified of blood, you wouldn't recommend this or you still would?
I would if they worked for a dentist that doesn't do a lot of surgical procedures, a lot of surgeries on teeth. I definitely wouldn't recommend someone to be an assistant for or a surgeon. But as a general dentist, some don't do all of those major surgeries. And maybe it's only once a week, or maybe it's only twice a month. So it's not that bad.
So now that we brought up this sort of general dentist versus working with a dental surgeon, can a dental assistant work with different types of dental doctors and not just a general doctor? So can they work with an orthodontics?
Assistants, they'd rather train them on the job. There's really not a school for them to go to. That's a specialty. And that way you should get more money and have more prestige because you do work for a specialist. But yeah, there's no blood with that unless, you know, one of the wires cuts somebody or something happens that way. There's no blood in orthodontics.
And can a dental assistant work with any age group? Or is there a sort of restriction that comes with being a dental assistant?
Yes, pediatric dentistry is all children, if you want to go that route. They see some special needs patients also who are adults. But that, if you want to do that and work with just children, that would be the way to go. But no, you can't really choose in a general dentist office. I only want to see your children dentist, I mean, children patients, or I only want to see your adult patients. Also, I learned to be very calm and listen really well to geriatric patients, older patients, and they really count on you, you know?
Yeah.
But I've learned a lot of life skills and a lot of things that way. But if you want particular practice, you know, you have to look into what kind of things you want to do and what patients you want to see.
So for children, what kind of assistance or, like, do you provide to them, or what kind of skills, you know, do you sort of need to be able to assist children? Because, you know, they're kind of, some could be very difficult to deal with.
For children, you have to get them to be very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be comfortable and confident in what you're doing. You have to be very caring, but you also sometimes have to set the rules, you know,
yeah,
of what is good and what is not. And then once you have their trust, they're really easy to work with and will normally behave and be okay.
Yeah.
But you really have to have a special personality to work with children. I would never work with children all day long. I'm not that type of person. Because you need a whole lot more patience, a whole lot more of telling the child what is right and what is wrong, and that doesn't go for me real well.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So, earlier you had told me that you entered this industry with really no skills. Would you say now that after working a lot of years as a dental assistant, you've gained skills?
Oh, yes, I've gained a lot of skills. A lot of patience, especially with children.
Yeah.
A lot of children's skills. And just new materials, new things that are coming out, new machines, like making crowns chairside. The patient doesn't have to go home with the temporary. They don't have to wait forever for the crown to come in and then be cemented in. I mean, there's so much more technology out there. Even your radiology is changing for your x-rays. You won't have to take those little x-rays all the time. They're going to go to a straight pan. You know, one x-ray that goes around the head, you
yeah
know? So I just think the advancements are so great, you know, that, yeah.
So talking about patients, have you ever had to deal with any angry customers and the stress that comes with, you know, having to deal with those angry customers?
Oh, yes. Sometimes, not very often. You always remember those patients, though.
Yeah.
So you use a calm voice, you step back, sometimes realize that it's not you that's the problem, or even the office. They come in stressed out or angry, and they're just taking it out on you.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to use calming voice, you want to use words such as, you know, Mr. Larson, I understand that you're upset, and I understand that we do need to do some dentistry for you today. Are you still comfortable in doing that, or do you wish to reschedule and maybe come back on a day that's better for you? You want to give them an option. You never want an angry patient and then take them back and still do what you're doing, because that's going to be worse. But a lot of people sometimes get mad at the finances.
Yeah.
That's why we always do a treatment plan ahead of time, so they're well aware of what their cost is before they leave,
yeah,
or well aware of what the insurance is going to cover, and then what they're going to be billed for. But I think that is the most time that someone is angry or upset is over finances.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, sometimes we offer nitrous oxide for patients who are stressed, upset, angry, and sometimes it helps them calm down. Or we offer, would you like to wait a little bit? Do you want some water? Can I get you a blanket? Try to offer hospitality, or try
yeah
and get them on a different plane or a different thinking, you know, everything's okay before you even start dentistry would be a really good idea.
Would you say angry customers is a constant thing?
No, no. You hardly see them.
Okay.
You know, if you have a really good dentist and you have a really good team and you have a really good hygienist and everyone works really well and is very polite to the patients and works through things and all of the team flows so well, you know, and we aren't like stressed out and we aren't like upset or things that way, then your patients are fine, you know. But like I said, it's not normally us that they're mad at. They come in like that.
And have you ever been stressed about something in the dental office?
Sometimes I'm stressed when we have a full schedule and then we have an emergency call in. And the front office people think that we are miracle workers. She puts them in between people. And then it's like, oh, wow. Then you really have to think on your feet. Really trying to stay organized. Really trying to get everybody done in a timely manner. Knowing that the person's going to come in pain, swollen normally, and not in a good mood.
Yeah.
And so that's when I get stressed, is when things aren't, it's never going to be perfect. But things get this little kink in it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I never blame the front office person. It's just, it just throws the day off sometimes.
Yeah.
Now, finally, some questions for those who are wanting to be in the dental field. Who would you recommend this job to?
Anyone who is really interested in being in the health field, it is okay being around the teeth, the saliva, the mouth, and is very compassionate. Very caring, wants to help people, someone who is motivated, you know, hard worker, can multitask, learn easily on the job because it's always changing.
Yeah.
But yes, I would recommend it to anybody that could do that. The reason why I really did dental assisting is I don't like nursing, because nursing, you do so much more with the patient or to the patient. And I don't like the death part of it.
Yeah.
Plus, I don't like the other fluids of the body. Saliva is okay, but I don't care for the other stuff. So that's why I'm not a nurse.
What advice would you give to them?
A little training is much better. Going to like a high school class or going to Front Range or studying really well. Get some books on teeth and dentistry. Maybe makeup, if you are able to go to school, don't want to go to school. Like I said, I started cleaning in the dental office. So reading books about instruments and reading books about procedures and reading books and just gathering, well, they don't read books anymore, but just gathering information, you know, the more you know, the better it would be for your job. It would be better to get hired too.
Yeah.
So you said that you would recommend them to read books. Would you say they have to read the same amount as a general dentist?
No, just have some general knowledge. Also to shadow. It's always good to go in and shadow somebody to see if you could really do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of saying, oh, I want to be a dental assistant, you're hired and you can't get in the mouth or the teeth, you know? But see really what the job is about. So on the job training or shadowing is would be really, really good.
Final question. When entering the dental field, are there any specific requirements you need?
You need a high school diploma, a really nice professional resume, CPR qualification, and that comes with Heimlich qualification, your AED qualification, all that certification. And that's really it.
So I was doing some research and entering in the dental field, do you need any vaccines of any sort?
Oh, yes, that's, you need your immunization record, shot record, because you have to have hepatitis B taken care of, and that's in 3 shots. It's normally done when you're younger.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't come up with a booster yet or anything. They feel that just the one time shot with hepatitis B shot will work. However, I often wonder if I should go do it again, you know, because I've been in for so long.
Yeah.
But, yes, you need your shot record. Now, if you decline that hepatitis B shot, right, you have to sign a form saying you decline the hepatitis B shot and the dentist has to sign that too. So then if something happened to you in the dental office, that dentist would not be liable for you. You know, you decided not to do that for some reason, and then you caught hepatitis B, then the dentist, you know,
So you would say that the hepatitis B vaccine is recommended but not necessarily required?
Yes. Okay. Normally people do it because it is, it's a virus that stays on a surface for a very long time. And it comes from blood. And there is a little bit of blood in your saliva, even though you can't see it. So that is a very transmittable disease, and it's your most dangerous. Except for your hepatitis C, which is up and coming and getting worse as time goes by. Yeah. But they don't have a vaccine for that.
Well, thank you for being on this podcast.
Well, you're welcome. I hope this helps you out and you make the decision to be a dental assistant or not. And I hope you stay in the health field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure.